So today, I really want to focus in on how to live unchained lives, unchained from the terrible effects of sin, as we learn to walk in our new identity in Christ, our new identity in Him, through the bloodline of freedom. Amen. We've been given a bloodline of freedom through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit of freedom that we have received when we were born again as God's children. One of the texts that we'll start with today is a passage that you may have read many times in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself as He is pure." So as we start, we know that as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. At salvation, you were filled with God Himself, who longs to produce the incredible fruits of righteousness and freedom in you instead of the sin and its effects that rob us of the abundant life that has been afforded to us by Jesus' sacrifice. Freedom was brought to us, purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? But it is experienced through our willingness to allow God to transform and heal us. That's how we experience the freedom that was purchased for us through Christ. It's one thing to have our freedom bought, paid for, but it's another thing to understand how then that can apply to our life, that we can experience it in our life through our willingness to allow God to transform us, change us, heal us, set us free. Experiencing freedom will come by allowing God to lead you away from your past mistakes and guide you into His good and pleasing and perfect will. So today, God's Spirit calls us to open our hearts to Him, make space for Him to heal the wounds that have repeatedly driven us to sin. Heal the wounds that have repeatedly driven us to sin. For every sin that we repeat has a wound that is at its source, a wound that we're trying to cover some way, recover from in some way. And we act in the wrong way to try to medicate it. So today, we are called by God's Spirit to open our hearts to Him, make space for Him to heal those wounds that drive us to sin. We can indeed understand how God enables this by the renewing of our mind to the new nature that we've been given in Christ, and how we then, in humility, learn to depend upon God for our freedom every hour of every day, by trusting Him for our provision. Amen? You are a child of God now. The world that you live in is no longer your home. Not in a worldly sense, is it? That which you see is a mere shadow of the incredible glory that's in store for you through your Heavenly Father. Peter says it this way. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You indeed are a part of the new people of God who have the ability and the authority to conquer the terrible acts of our enemy. Amen. And appropriate the victory that Jesus won over him. Listen, we have been called out from a life of simply getting by. You know that survival mentality? You've been there. I've been there. We've been called out of that kind of lifestyle by understanding that we are called to a greater pursuit of seeing God's kingdom meet this earth, come to this earth, come to us, and transform hearts and lives for God's eternal glory. Now, last week, we laid the foundation for this message by looking at how God made us, spirit, soul, and body. We saw that we are spiritual beings. We were made to be connected to God who is spirit. And we saw how God who is spirit is the source of our life force. But we saw how sin severed that connection. Remember the cucumbers and the vine. And brought about eventual death and disease and destruction of our soul. Sin. We saw last week that our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions, that also contains our memory, our imagination, our conscience, our will. And together then with our spirit form our inner being, which the Bible calls our spiritual heart, the center of who we are and what we are and how we are. Our spiritual heart is what God is after, and our spiritual heart is what must change in order for real change to happen in our life, in order for transformation into the full and free sons and daughters of the Most High God, which is who we are. In order for us to live that abundant life, to live in the reality of our identity as the full sons and daughters of the King of Kings, God has to renew our minds. He has to get into our spiritual heart and there transform. We know that at salvation, that inner work began with the cleansing of our spirit and the receipt of His Holy Spirit. That began. But today we need to see how the Holy Spirit can heal and renew our hearts to help us to become free and healthy and more like Jesus. And to do so, we have to start today with an understanding of another key truth about how and why God made us. So, here we go. God made humans, God made you, God made me with both physical and emotional, spiritual needs. Amen? Now listen, this is the big idea that we have to grasp today. God wanted a relationship with us based upon His provision of all of our needs, and with our trust in Him to meet all those needs, and our demonstration of that trust in Him through our obedience. Did you follow that? God wanted the reason He created us, the way He created us. God wanted a relationship with us based upon His ability to provide for every one of our needs. And He gave us the ability to trust in Him for the provision of all those needs and to demonstrate our trust in Him through our obedience to His Word. Are you following that now? This is really what the Garden of Eden was all about. God made every provision for Adam and Eve to be healthy and whole and free and happy. Every provision. And to access all that provision, they simply had to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to access that provision, they simply had to trust and obey. Trust that God is good. That God wants our best. And that God can provide everything we need for that best, for the abundant life that is filled with freedom and joy. And He wants us to demonstrate our trust in Him by taking Him at His word, acting on it in obedience, right? So, trusting God to meet all your needs. As I mentioned, you know, we have physical needs. We know that. We need food. We need water. We need air to breathe. We need protection from physical harm, right? And nowadays, that protection means shelter and often clothing or that which is required to protect us in the physical, to provide for us in the physical, to sustain our bodies, right? Food, water, air. But we are also made with spiritual and emotional needs. And those are so very powerful. They often get overlooked because of how clear it is that we need food. We don't realize that we also need love. That we are made to need acceptance. That we are made to feel valued. That we are made to live with purpose, find fulfillment, have joy, and be at peace. Love, acceptance, value, purpose, fulfillment, joy, and peace. These are real needs that God made us with. And they're just as real and just as powerful as the physical needs. But again, not always as obvious. And that's part of the problem, isn't it? Again, God wanted that relationship with us based upon His ability to provide for all of these needs, not just the physical, but the spiritual and emotional. He made us able to receive from Him everything we need for life and happiness in Christ. You know, the first test of whether humans would trust God for these things was in the garden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and with the serpent's temptation, his lie, right? His lie. What did he say? God is holding out on you. He doesn't want your best, your highest good. He's keeping something from you, not wanting you to have something that you should and could have. Isn't that the lie? And that they could have it by disobeying him, by acting out of a mistrust of God, not believing what he said, and then doing something he said not to do. And doing it to obtain what they thought was a need or desire that God was not providing for. That God wasn't willing and wanting and able to provide that for them. They had to do something outside of Him, outside of His word, outside of His will to obtain, which was a lie. Still is. In fact, here's the key truth of today's message that I want you to write down, I want you to grab a hold of. All sin, even today, is an attempt to have your needs met in wrong ways. Doing things that God said don't do in order to try to meet a need or desire in the wrong way instead of trusting God to do what is right. So the key truth again is all sin is an attempt to have our needs met in wrong ways. Doing things God said don't do to try to have a need or desire met in the wrong way instead of trusting that God can meet those needs when we do what is right. Remember with me, the words that God spoke to Cain. When Cain became so angry at his brother, when God accepted his brother's sacrifice and not his. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord appears after Cain was so angry and says to Cain in verse 6, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Look at verse 7. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." So God says, why are you angry? Don't you know that if you do what is right, you will be accepted? What was the need? Acceptance. Don't we all have that need? You better believe it. That's why it feels so terrible when we feel rejected, especially by someone that is close to us. Rejection is the opposite of acceptance. And rejection does, well, it produces a scar in our heart. God appears to Cain and says, why are you angry? If you would do what is right, you will be accepted. If you do it the way I told you to, I will freely give you my acceptance. It'll be poured in. I know you need it. But you learned God doesn't reward bad behavior. How could he ever do that? That would be foolish. That would be not wise. But look what he says. This is fascinating, isn't it? He says to Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. So here he is, Cain. He's feeling rejected because God didn't accept his sacrifice. God didn't accept it because he did it wrongly, from a wrong motive, from a wrong intention of his heart. But Cain had that need to be accepted. God said, if you want to be accepted, do what's right. I will accept you if you do it the way I told you to do it. Right? For the right motive. But see, listen, look with me. Look and see what God said was right there at Cain's door, so to speak. What was right at his door? Sin. Remember, sin is doing the wrong thing to attempt to get your needs met in a wrong way. But more, he said, sin desires to have you. What does that mean? Sin desires to have you. You see, in this passage, God is revealing to us the one who is present in every temptation to do what is wrong, and that is the roaring lion. That is the one who seeks to whom he may devour, the one who roams the earth to do so. In this passage, God is revealing that behind sin is Satan. He is the lion crouching at our door, putting out the bait of temptation, the lie, today just like he did to Eve in the garden to get us to sin. Why? That he may pounce on us and have us, meaning trap us with the intention to kill us spiritually and eventually physically too, right? To take from us the abundant life that God intended. And what does God say, church? What does God say? You must master it. Interesting, isn't it? Sin desires to have you. I remembered after I had done my sermon that that when Jesus was speaking to Peter, right before they came to arrest Jesus, you know, right there at that Last Supper, Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you." It's the same thing. It's Jesus, God, that is saying the same thing to Peter that the Father said to Cain. Do you see it? But you must master it instead of it mastering you. Listen to me. You are slaves to whatever masters you. That's why it is so devastating to be mastered by fear. You are slaves to whatever masters you. Satan wants us to be slaves. Slaves to sin. But God didn't make us to be slaves. He made us to be sons and daughters of His. But when we become bound, and sin creates bondages, we develop a slave mentality, which is completely opposite the way a true son and daughter thinks. Again, remember this before we move on. Sin is doing the wrong thing in an attempt to get your needs met in the wrong way. And repeated sin, especially unrepented sin, creates bondages in our soul. Literal bondages. And as I mentioned, one of the biggest is the bondage of fear. I had this illustrated to me, and I told you this once before, but I'll remind you that a very important man that spoke into Kim and I's life, a wonderful teacher, Sam Solon, had told the story of him traveling to Mexico and finding a brother in Christ there who still had the residuals of his past life present, in that he was not yet free. Free specifically in this way. Every night when Sam would go to bed in the same building, the same area where this other Mexican man would go, he noticed that the Mexican man had a pattern every night, and it was weird. And the pattern, you remember me telling you about it before? He would get a tortilla. You know, a tortilla. Put it under his pillow at night, the last thing. And finally, Sam asked him, he says, "What in the world are you doing, brother?" You know, put in this, what is this practice at night that you do this? He says, "Oh." He says, "Sam, you don't know what it's like to wake up hungry." He says, I sleep better at night putting that under there because I know in the morning at least I have this to eat. He said, "There were many days when I had nothing." And Sam said to him, "Brother, you are not that person anymore. You are not that slave. You are a son of God, and you must learn to trust in Him for your provision, for He will never let you down." But that mindset is hard to break out of. It is for us as Christians. It's a process, but it's a process that God can indeed enable when you allow His Spirit to move in your life, to get into those areas of your heart where those bondages exist, where that fear exists. The desire to have your needs met is not evil. Amen? But trying to fulfill those needs in wrong ways is. And sin, once in, completely distorts our perception of those needs and our reality of really, you know. We start to see blurred, for example, the difference between needs and lustful desires. Amen? See, they're perverted desires now. Am I speaking okay this morning? Is it okay to go there? Perverted desires, the result of wrong thoughts, wrong action, repeated sin. Come on. There's a right and a wrong way to have our needs met. When we do the wrong thing, it's sin. Listen, this is just a quick sidebar, very quick, before I give you some illustrations and we allow for some ministry time. Before eating from the tree, doing what is right, that is the correct moral behavior, was determined simply by listening to the voice of God and trusting it. So moral decisions were either true, if God said it was true, or false, if God said it was false. But after eating from the tree, Adam and Eve made all their future decisions in the context of what they wanted. Their flesh, if you will, that sinful nature, right? Now, God's voice was in competition with that sinful voice. Are you following me? Now, they looked for what was good for them outside of what God said was good for them. Are you following me? That enlightenment, if you will, produced a self-awareness of desire, and their world changed forever. And it is the desire for determining good and evil yourself, absent God or irrespective of God, is what really is at play here. You see, determining good and evil is what God does and only God. The knowledge of right and wrong, it comes from God, no one else. He's the source. But since the garden, man has attempted to play God, making the determination themselves what is right and wrong. Well, you see that play out today in spades. And the result is a pandemic of idolatry when people put themselves in the role of God. But you and I, we're in the garden every day standing before that tree. Are we going to trust God or are we going to believe the lie? We're faced with those decisions every day, church. Every day, my beloved. And oftentimes, here we go now, here we go. Oftentimes, we give in to those temptations because of a past experience we're trying to medicate. I'll give you an illustration. Those who struggle with pride, and most of us do, we're often trying to gain affirmation that we're good enough. Come on. Those who struggle with lust, and many do, are simply trying to be loved and feel it and accept it. See, every habitual sin, behind every habitual sin, there is a wound that the Lord needs to heal. Can you see that this morning? Behind every habitual sin, there is a wound in our soul that the Lord needs to heal. And when we are born again, He comes and says, "Let me in that I may heal those wounds." Amen? He says, "I made you to be free. I don't want you to be enslaved anymore." You don't have to be. Romans tells us, "Sin shall not be your master." Amen? But in order to live every day experiencing that freedom that you have available to you through Christ, you must allow God to come into that heart, to give you the revelation of those wounds and their source, and understand that the healing is in Him. The ability to heal, that is in Him. when you have a revelation of who He is and what He has for you. So as the worship team comes, I really want to allow God to move this morning. I want to ask Him to come and ask Him to show us a wound in our heart that the enemy uses to keep you in sin, to lead you continuously into sin. What past hurt are you trying to cover with sin? What need wasn't met? What did someone wrongly tell you? You know, I'm watching our grandson's personality be formed so early, and I understand how powerful words are when you speak to children, and how positive words can have such a positive effect. But what if you were a child and you heard repeatedly, "You're worthless"? Do you understand how that creates soul wounds that can carry with you and be behind the thing that drives you to do things that you know you shouldn't do, seeking love, acceptance, because you didn't feel it then. You didn't feel value and worth. And so you try to medicate it. You try to compensate for it. You try to find the healing of it from all other sources other than come to God, who is the ability, has the ability to heal, has the ability to speak into your soul like no one else can, that you are His child and you have value in His sight and He loves you with an unrelenting love, that He accepts you just as you are. You can come to Him and He will never reject you. What did somebody wrongly tell you? What past hurt have you not allowed God to minister? Would you be willing to ask the Lord to bring you freedom and healing today? Ask the Holy Spirit to come. Whenever God had Israel go into the promised land, it was a type of us entering into the kingdom of God today and receiving the blessings of God. There were some among them that said, "We can't go, there are giants in the land." I tell you what, Satan has lied to you, saying you could never be free. You could never be healthy and whole. You could never be happy and fulfilled. You don't have purpose. You don't have significant value. Those are the giants that He wanted to plant in your promised land. You know what God wants to do today? Slay the giants. That you indeed receive the full inheritance of what it means to be a son and daughter of His. Freedom. And again, freedom from fear. Such a powerful one of those emotions that the enemy seeks to bind us with. We have things that have happened in our life that the enemy has used to put his hooks into our soul to create the stronghold of fear. God says, "Perfect love drives out all fear. Let my perfect love in, and I will set you free." I'm going to open the altar up and we're going to have a prayer time, and I just pray as we just stand to worship that you allow God's Spirit now just to speak to you. Don't leave here knowing that you indeed have these hurts, fears, bondages that are keeping you from the freedom of the glorious sons and daughters of God. Allow God's Spirit. He's the one that can do it. But I can tell you this, we're here to pray with you, to ask with you God's Spirit to come into your heart, come into your soul, and bring freedom and healing. Stand with me. Almighty Father, Spirit of the living God, Jesus, come. Open the eyes of our heart. Show us you know our wounds, our bondages, and show us that you can set us free today and heal us. We open our hearts to you. Come. Come and set us free. I'm going to ask that any of you that feels so inspired to be also a part of the prayer team today that can pray with all that come. The altar is open for you.